Now, on Fridays, we have our big head bet segment. You know this. I actually brought James Kelly in yesterday prior to the opener because he and I both were so geeked about that game. And then we watched that game, and we were wrong about that game. And it doesn't happen very often, but it will happen. Head, welcome back. What's going on? How you feeling?
I'm feeling good, Jim. How you doing?
No, you're not. That's a lie. Straight up. I'll call bull crap on that.
Yeah, a little pissed. A little pissed, but we're all right. Yeah, we'll bounce back this weekend.
Yeah, but then again, you're right. Like, I'm going to call bull crap, but I don't want the real answers, so you're right. All right, so Tampa Bay, Head. They did enough to win the game. Credit for that, but not nearly enough for us to win our bet. If this were a horse race, we would say that the Bucs did not run to their odds. In this case, you and I hit Tampa minus -9. So before we look ahead to this weekend's action, I want to get your reaction to what you saw last night and what was going through your head as you watched that bet, that pick go right down the toilet.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad I hit Tom Brady on the over 2.5 so it didn't bleed as bad, Jim. But with the pick, dude, you can't overcome three boneheaded plays that Ronald Jones, Leonard Fournette, and then Chris Godwin did late fumbling that ball. I mean, you're not going to win. You're not going to cover 9. So am I pissed? Not too bad. I mean, I still feel we had the right pick because the talent's right. It's just you're never going to get that right if those three do what they did.
Not if you keep giving the ball to the other guy.
That's it.
All right, so let's keep moving. Thanks for nothing, Chris Godwin. He actually made a play late in the game that got them the win. I mean, one thing to lose the bet, but to lose the game altogether, lucky that didn't happen, but I'm not rooting. All right, why don't we start with Green Bay and New Orleans? Great, great matchup. Great storylines. Start right there, Head. And clones, get your pens out. Write this down. What is the number you're seeing for that game, and who is your pick?
So when this came out, I was all over the underdog Packers in New Orleans and taking the points. The spread has now flipped because the location has moved to Jacksonville, obviously. But I'm still going Green Bay here, Jim. Now as a minus 3.5-point favorite, it's the best offense in football last year in Green Bay via the best road defense in New Orleans. Rodgers has some massive advantage against this undermanned Saints secondary. Remember, they traded for Bradley Roby this week, and he won't go. They are desperate for corners. The question is, can Aaron's line hold up against that great Saints defensive line? His guard, Elgton Jenkins, will be his left tackle, and he could have two rookies going on that line. But I like the Packers. Maybe new DC Joe Colan had some of that Brandon Staley rub off on him, and he could force turnover-prone famous Jameis into a bad pick late. And under Matt LaFleur, the Packers have been good against the spread in conference games. They hit 64% of them last year. Enjoy some good football for once, Jags fans. Let's go Packers minus 3.5.
All right, so I'm with you on that. I'm a little concerned about the offensive line. They lost a stud center. Yes. David Bakhtiari's not out there right now. A lot to like about the Saints, starting with Alvin Kamara. Mm-hmm. He gave the Packers hell last year. There's no reason to believe that he won't do so again on Sunday. But, Head, you have to wonder about life without Drew Brees. Obviously, I think that being there for a year and working alongside Brees and Sean Payton is going to really help Jameis Winston. Mm-hmm. And I think the guy will reinvent himself. I think he will be reborn in New Orleans. I expect a strong year from him. However, and I know you agree, Head, the guy can't throw the football to himself. And without more receivers and without Michael Thomas, I'm a little skeptical. I'm with you. Aaron Rodgers is loaded. He's got weapons. Green Bay minus 3.5. I'm going to go about it the same way.
Nice.
Let's keep moving. All right, so the next game is what? What are you looking at?
Seattle v. Indy here, Jim, and I really like the upside of both of these teams. Come January, two very evenly stacked teams, if though Carson Wentz is Carson Wentz pre-2020, that is. Obviously, the Eagles didn't think he could get there. And that's why they traded him. Now, on Sunday, I like the Hawks minus 2.5. This line has gone crazy. The Hawks were underdogs as well when it came out. I'm interested to see how Weird Russ slightly upgraded protection holds up against that defensive line of the Colts. They are good. The big advantage Russ does have is on his outside, of course, though, with DK and Lockett. He has to get the ball out quickly like he normally doesn't do it, but neither team is great against the spread in week one historically, but Peter's Hawks are 4-0 against the spread in their last four September games. And get this number, the Colts are 1-11-1 against the spread in their last 13 week one games. That's Pinky, Captain Andrew Luck. and Phil Rivers playing quarterback for them, so I'm not taking Carson Wentz. Hey, Seattle, Russ does enough, and they cover 2.5.
Hey, Seattle.
Why do you have to weird Russ him?
Dude's strange. Strange is good.
We got a deal.
You're not. All right, so in Russ we trust, and right now I do not trust Carson Wentz at all. Not now. You know exactly what you're going to get with Russ, but at this point I have no idea what to expect from Wentz. It doesn't mean that he won't ball out. It means I don't know what to expect. So he's going to have a better line in front of him, right? With the Colts, he can turn and hand the ball to Jonathan Taylor. But until I see it from Wentz, I'm not going to buy any stock in this guy. It is tempting to take the home dog, especially a solid outfit like the Colts, but not tempting enough. I'm with you. Seahawks, -2.5. So we're in agreement on the first two. Panthers, Jets, head. Normally, shut up, Ritt. Normally. I look at a really crappy team against a less crappy team, and I have no interest whatsoever, but that's not the case here because this is a big-ass revenge game. Right out of the box, Sam Darnold gets a shot at the team that kicked him to the curb, the Jets. And we'll get to see how the second pick overall, Zach Wilson, looks immediately. I actually love this game. What's the number? How are you playing it?
So this is an unfamiliar spot for Sam Darnold. The number is Carolina -4 at home via the Jets. Only one time in Darnold's career he's been a favorite of at least 4 points. One time. That fact makes me nervous, and the guy who you just said, old man Ike, so confident in him, he hit me up this morning, very, very confident, showing, telling me how much his Carolina Panthers will cover this spread. That makes me nervous, Jim. It makes me want to take the Jets, but I can't. I'm going with Ritt and the Panthers minus the points. Darnold's line isn't good right now, but the Jets' pass rush isn't either after losing Carl Lawson. It's a big blow. They need a pass rush with those cornerbacks on that roster. And Matt Rhule's defense, they are young, but I like that talent, especially that front seven. Brian Burns v. Becton will be fun to watch on Sunday. Against the spread-wise, you could imagine both of them are horrible. You have the worst home vs. the spread, be the second worst road team, be the spread of 2020 going at it. I'm going with Ritt and his Panthers -4. And like always, if we lose, tweet at Garrett Ritt, not me.
But I'd say that I thought that's always one of your handicapping angles, that you see what Ritt wants or says, and you just do the opposite normally. But not
this
time.
Yes, it is. And that's what I'm so freaking nervous about today, because there's a couple of them that he actually likes. And I think he went 0-4 last weekend. So, ugh.
All right. So, Darnold, to me, he's got a lot of things in Carolina, which he did not have in New York. In fact, he didn't have anything in New York. Nobody to throw the ball to. Nobody to really block for him. Nobody to hand the ball to. And a coaching staff that didn't do a damn thing to help him. So, he's in a much better situation with the Panthers. Not good enough to win anything that really matters, but good enough to beat the team that you know he hates. I'm with you on that too, Head. I'm taking Carolina -4. All right, Broncos, Giants. I know you love going against the grain. I know you love a home dog, but I also know that you are a Broncos honk. What's the number? How are you playing that game?
Well, how bad are the Giants right now, Jim? They are an underdog against Denver, a team that wasn't a favorite one game all of 2020. And yes, I'm taking Denver. They are -3 at New York. That's the spread. As long as Teddy Two Gloves plays smart and gets the ball to his weapons, I like Denver here. Look, from 2-53, Denver can play with almost anyone in the NFL, and it's all about the QB play. The thought is Teddy doesn't give the ball to the other team like Drew Lock did last year, and the Broncos' defense should be very, very good as long as Bridgewater doesn't do that. The Giants' interior line is a problem, and the Broncos, with a healthy Mike Purcell, should be back to being a very, very good run defense, something I'm sure the Giants will try and challenge them there, but it's a better decision than throwing against the Broncos because they have the best secondary in football probably, and they have Von Miller, Bradley Chubb, and up-and-coming star Draymond Jones to get to Danny Dimes. I'm going with Mama Hamler, a.k.a. MC Kitty, and that human joystick son of hers, KJ Hamler, and the Broncos -3.
Hell yes. I love that. I love
Thank
that pick.
You, John.
I mean, like, I'm trying to go against you because what's the point if you and I pick all the same games the same way every single week? So I would love to make an argument for the Giants here, but I can't because Bridgewater does have lots of young weapons he can get the ball to, I agree with you. I think that Bronco defense, as good as it was, I think it's improved. I love the secondary. I love the return of Von Miller. And no, I'm still not sold on Danny Dimes. He took a step back last season, not a step forward. I'm with you. I'm going to take the Broncos and lay the points on the road. Really quickly, when was the last time that you saw so many home dogs that were favored?
It's been a while. And the funny thing, obviously, I always, anybody listens knows that I usually go with a lot of favorites, right? But week one, historically for the NFL, a lot of the favorites do cover. And I actually like 11 of the 16 total here this weekend. So moving forward, it'll be different. But week one, we're okay with a lot of these things.
All right,
but the nerve-wracking thing, though, is there's a lot of money on the picks that we're at. They like what we're doing here.
Right, and so we don't like that. Generally, we want to go the other way.
I never do, usually.
No, I know this. All right, so Vikings at Bengals. Pretty interesting game and a similar deal. You've got a road favorite with the Vikes rolling into Cincy, but then again, for good reason, right? Joe Burrow is back, but is he going to be the same guy who was tearing it up before going down with a season-ending injury last year? Too soon to say, but I'm going to assume that the Bengals have most, if not all, of the same problems this year that they had last year. So, who you got in this game, and what's the number?
The number is Cincy -3. I'm going, of course, with the road favorite Minnesota here. Mike Zimmer is like clockwork. One good season followed by a bad one. Every year he's coached the Vikings since 2014. And the good news for Minnesota fan is time for a good year after finishing last year 7-9 and losing their last seven games overall against the spread. Look, Minnesota's defense was ass last year, Jim. The worst of Zimmer's career. But the good news is they now got bodies. Hunter, Pierce, Kendricks, Tomlinson. They brought back Griffin. That D should be a mother to run on this year. The question is, can that secondary slow down teams and slow down the Bengals on Sunday? That's the big question, but that matchup isn't as lopsided as what the Vikings got against the Bengals secondary. Since he couldn't cover last year, they lost William Jackson III, their best cornerback, and Trey Waynes probably won't go either this week. One concerning thing, I'm seeing some injury news coming down, is the Vikings won't have Anthony Barr or Christian Darrishaw, their left tackle, the first-round pick. That's concerning, but the Vikings are 4-1 in their last five week one games. Let's go Minnesota -3 on the road.
All right, so the Bengals, to me, could not protect their quarterback last year, nor could they get to opposing quarterbacks last year. That in and of itself is a really bad combo. It doesn't look that different to me this year. Kirk Cousins should feast on that secondary, as you point out. He's got weapons to work with. He's going to have some time to throw. And you know Cincinnati will have no answer for our guy Dalvin Cook. Yes. I'd love to go against the grain, but I can't do it. Another home dog that I'm just going to have to ignore. And I usually like that pick. Run him back for me. Who do you have this week, Head?
Packers -3.5 against the Saints. Seattle -2.5 at Indy. Panthers at home -4 against the Jets. Blame Ritt if I missed there. Broncos -3 at New York Giants. And the Vikings on the road at Cincy -3.
Vikes -3. All right, I actually am going exactly the same way with all of your picks. Put them up on Twitter. I will retweet them. And let's make back what we lost last night and make some other money on top of that. All right, Head?
All right, Jim, I'll do that. Thanks.
Good job, Head. I posed the question, when we did Big Head Bets a couple of weeks back, we jammed so much in, it felt like too much of a good thing. And I put the question to you clones, did we bite off more than we could chew? Because the Head was starting to run out of gas at the end of the segment. His grammar was getting worse. He was mispronouncing more words and teams and names. And the reaction was, no, you can't do too much. We'll take as much as you possibly can give us. So there you go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games. 5 games. Look for him at Big Head Bets, and I will retweet it myself. And again, I would love to go against the grain. I would love to go against him, but I see it the exact same way that he does this week. Who you got? Are you getting down? 1-800-636-8686. That's the Big Head. We do that every single Friday.